Hey, what's up, Mixed Messages crew? As we move here closer to the holidays, if you're listening and watching to these in real time, we have a little gift for you where we actually are offering an episode that was a really hot topic not that long ago. Something that we want to rewind to and take stock, refocus, say some prayers, and actually dig into what God is calling us to as we try to navigate all those mixed messages all around us. So dial in, tune in, and see how God wants to work in our minds and hearts in this episode.
Joe, we're ready.
Oh, you ready?
Joe, do the intro.
Joe, do the intro. Joe, do the intro. Thanks for joining us today. Especially you, Jeff, for our next episode of Mixed Messages with the one and only Jeff Bogue. My name is the one and only Joe Caruso, and I'll be your one and only host as we dig into the one and only topic of today.
Isn't there actually two of you? Aren't you named after your father?
Well, yes, I suppose that is true.
So I'm one of two Joe Carusos.
Matter of fact, just today I got a text saying, you know those like reality texts that come, like, are you interested in selling your home? I got one of those today that was like, are you interested in me contacting you about your blah, 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 blah address home? I'm like, that's my dad's house, back off, leave me alone. I said all of that in a text.
Did you?
I didn't.
Wow, you were really angry.
Yeah, no, I didn't say any of that, actually. I forgot about it till you brought it up. No, the most awkward time, I think, was when I first started going to the chiropractor and they brought out my chart. I'm like, I've never been to a chiropractor before. How do you have a chart? And they're like, we have it right here. And then they realized that the Anthony Caruso they had on file was born in the 50s. I'm like, yeah, that's not me.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my father.
You know, it probably does come in handy when you want to steal your dad's identity.
It does, yeah.
That's great. I love your new car.
Well, he drives vans.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. Because he does a lot of, he doesn't do it as much anymore, but he has a side business. And so he's always got his tools. And so he has basically a work van that he drives around as his normal car. And I don't want a van.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
Yeah, unless I was going to sell it. And then that just gets mean. I stole your car and sold it. Like, where's my van? I don't know. Some guy on Facebook Marketplace bought it for $3,000. $3,000? Yeah, it's money in my pocket. Well, from news sources to comedians, friends to advertisements, man, it seems everyone has an idea of how we should think, live, and make decisions. But when everyone disagrees, how do we cut through that noise? How do we sift through all the information overload and choose what governs our lives? Well, as we pray and process these things, we want to offer a resource to navigate some of the day's most pressing topics and questions.
Great. I'm excited to create this resource, Joe.
We should. One of these days, we should start a resource to do this.
I know.
Stuff. That'd be really, really good. I just had had someone else this week. They're like, man, mixed messages are so helpful. I'm like, that's great.
That is great.
I'm really excited about that. Because sometimes you and I, we can get like lost in this banter up front. You're like, are we doing anything on purpose? You know, but I do keep hearing that, at least for a few people.
I was helpful. At the collective retreat and one of the young adults said, mixed messages are my favorite podcast. And I was like, that's a real honor that you would say mm-hmm. that, you know, because it's not like there's not 4 million podcasts
right.
available. So yeah. The fact that she would dial in and, you know, actually listen to us, that's phenomenal.
Yeah,
it's great.
That's cool.
I count it a privilege.
I usually do too. The podcast is great. Sitting next to Jeff is even better.
There you go.
See,
who wouldn't want to sit next to me?
Our producer, Jason, just raised his hand. He's like, nah,
Jason Bitter just raised his hand.
Nope.
That's why he has to sit at the other side of the room and remain quiet.
Right. For those of you watching on YouTube, he's on the other side of the camera very strategically. all right. Well, we do have a submitted question today, Jeff. It comes in from one of our listeners. The whole concept is honoring your parents. Mm. They just dive right in. Why is it so hard sometimes? And how do I continue to have a heart like Jesus and care for my parents 24/7 when sometimes I get aggravated and frustrated? My mother doesn't do the things that will help her live long because she's just going to die anyways, is her mindset. She's just kind of living out her diagnosis. I know it's such a blessing to have them, and I know that time on earth is short, but sometimes I feel consumed caring for them and limited about what I can and can't do. Jeff, I'm sure you have too. I've heard so many versions of this question before. We can often pin this into like elderly aging parents, but sometimes it is the diagnosed parent. They can be in their middle age. And then sometimes versions of this question show up. Just how do I put up with my parents' unhealth?
Yeah.
And I feel like navigating that feels like a full-time job. So, yeah, help us walk through how do we honor our parents this way?
Yeah, if you're not familiar with the basis of the question that our listener is asking, you know, you would look at Exodus 20, verse 12, and Ephesians chapter 6, 1 through 4, and God talks about honoring your father and mother, mm-hmm. and how as a child, one of my responses to God is that I honor the people that God has caused to be my father and mother. So there's two relationships in our lives that we have absolutely zero control over. One is who our parents are, mm-hmm. and the other is who our children are.
Yeah.
And our biological children, at least, and those are God ordained things. Mm-hmm. And so, what God is saying in those passages, and I'll let you guys, you know, you can look those up on your own if you want. But what He's saying is, as a part of my order, my structure, and my design for your life, I caused you to be born. Mm-hmm. Into a set of relationships, and you are to honor me as you honor them in those relationships, right? Now, like with everything else, there are ideal settings with that. So there's ideal ways that we would interact as a family. There's ideal marriages. There's ideal friendships. There's ideal relationships with the government. There's all these things that the mm-hmm. Scripture lays out for us that we would look and say, I'm really open to doing that, but how? I was just studying Romans 13, which says that we should respect the authority of the governing bodies. And I'm like, that's really easy for me if I trust the government mm-hmm. or I trust the local authorities, the school principal and the police officer and, you know, et cetera. When I don't trust, or when they have behaved in a untrustworthy way, respecting them, honoring them, yielding to them becomes difficult, and it even becomes a complicated question. Hmm. And I think of parents in the same way. When I have a loving father and a loving mother, and they are doing their best, mm-hmm. and I am certain that they are devoted to me, honoring them is almost something that I could willpower my way into. Hmm. When I have parents who are addicted, parents who have abused and abandoned, parents who are swallowed up in their own dysfunction, to honor them then is something that has to happen supernaturally. That I'm going to have God's help. Mm-hmm. To view them the way that God would want me to view them. So it's an interesting thing, and it becomes this really complicated situation. Like you said, it's everything from like my parents are aging to my parents, you know, your parents may be diagnosed with Alzheimer's, or they may be diagnosed with bipolar, mm-hmm. you know, and what happens in those situations and every diagnosis in between. What happens is if you don't see your parent fighting for you, mm-hmm. you become hurt and disillusioned. You know, so if my my mother is an example of somebody who struggled with her health, and she was very sedentary, she was very overweight, it caused massive heart conditions in her. I think a lot of that was probably fueled by some depression that came from her and Dad's life blowing up. What encouraged me as her son is when she fought for me. Hmm. So she didn't ever become this pinnacle of health, but she changed her eating habits. She never became, you know, an ultra marathoner, but she tried to lose weight. Her heart condition, it was congestive heart failure, can't really be reversed, but it can kind of be stopped and definitely slowed. When I saw her being proactive with those treatments, I felt loved.
Sure.
because I thought, well, she wants to be with us. She wants to be with the grandkids, you know, those kind of things. So when I hear this listener asking these questions, what she's saying is, I'm watching somebody that I love not contend for their life, not contend for their health, and it makes me feel unloved because in reality, she's not contending to being my mother or my father, not contending to be a grandfather, just letting their life be swept away. It feels selfish, and it feels a little bit like rejection. Mm-hmm. You're everything from like you're dumping this on me because you're not willing to seek to be self-sufficient in these areas too. Apparently, you don't want to. You don't want to be with us, so you're almost committing a suicide by neglect.
Sure,
you know, and that is a very, very painful thing. So, how do you honor them? So, here are some things I would say. Like I said, this is very complicated in my view, and it's very specific. So to our listener, I'll give you some principles that have come to my mind and heart. I bet you I can't fully help you unless you sat down and we like got into your story and understood it. So I just want to give a lot of empathy because I am a adult child who cared for sick and dying parents. Mm-hmm. And I would sign up to do it all over again. And it's one of the hardest things I ever did. So I'm that's just where we're at. So here's what I would say with honoring them. The first thing I think that helped me with honoring my parents is to remember I am not their parents. So it's hard. It's almost like some of us can relate to this. It's like being a parent to an adult child. So my children who are adults, I do not control them. I guide them and influence them, and then they have to make their own decisions. So yesterday I came out of the house, and my son, Gabriel, who I just adore, and I think he's hilarious, and he's a neat guy that loves Jesus, had the first part of his full-sleeve arm tattoo done. And so I was like, oh, you got new tattoos. He's like, yeah. I'm like, well, show them to me. It actually is really neat. He's honoring Jesus with he could hold out his left forearm and share the gospel with you through his tattoos. It's actually pretty cool. But I'm like, he didn't ask. He never asked my opinion. He does not need to ask my opinion, and I actually don't need to give it.
Mm. That's really hard for a lot of people, Jeff.
It's really hard, and especially if you're a leader or a type A person.
Matter of fact, I'm pretty sure that's what leads into the premise of this show.
Yeah.
There's all these mixed messages around us and people sharing their opinions about everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I would look at myself, my son is 20 going on 21, and I'm like, I actually think his tattoos are really neat. Mm-hmm. I like them. But it doesn't matter if I do or not or don't. Mm-hmm. You know, now I can tell you, because of my relationship with my son, if I had really strong opinions, I know that he would consider them.
Sure.
He wouldn't just be like, you're an idiot, Dad. You know, that's not our relationship. But I don't, and I don't want to. Mm-hmm. Because it's not, I would have opinions about how he treats people, how he interacts with our family, how he represents Christ. I will share those. Because I am his brother in Christ. Mm. Benign things like tattoos or you know, how clean he keeps his little apartment, like that's his business, and he'll figure that out. And when I intervene in that and speak into it and control it, I'm actually never allowing him to become an adult.
Sure.
So as I'm caring for parents, I have to remember that I can speak in, I can put up boundaries too. Hmm. I can give my opinion, but it's not my job to enforce, it's not my job to change, and it's not my job to get them to do something that they don't want to do. Hmm. And what I found, as a adult child to my parents, when I released that, it released a lot of tension.
Sure.
In my relationship with my folks, because they were not living life the way that I wanted them to live it. Now, I had a good relationship with my mom and dad, so there was times that they took my opinion, or they would take my siblings' opinion, my sisters and my brother, you know. But when they chose not to, that's no longer my business. Mm. So when they choose not to deal with their health the way that they could or should, I'm not going to spend the remaining years of my parents' life fighting with them over their diet. I don't want my relationship with them to be marked by whether they should change doctors or do a new medicine. If they have made a decision, I can't even if I fight them, I can't enforce it.
Sure.
Right? So it doesn't mean that I don't direct them, lead them, speak wisdom, help, encourage. It doesn't mean that when they come to my house, we don't eat salads instead of Big Macs. You know, I'm not talking about that. But I'm going to release whatever I'm going to release so that that tension is not there, right? So that's kind of one. I'm not the child.
Yeah.
Now, with that, what I would say is this. I think there's times that in honoring my parents that I actually set boundaries. So I say this about parenting all the time. Unruly, unpleasant children, that is the parent's fault, not the child's fault. Huh. So if I want my children to act in an orderly way and I want them to be pleasant to other adults, that's actually my responsibility because a child isn't going to come up with that on their own.
Sure, yep.
Okay? So kind of taking that thought process a little bit, if my parents are overstepping boundaries that is making me bitter or is making me annoyed or frustrated or driving a wedge into my marriage, it's my job to set up those boundaries. Because I left them and I created a independent family, which means that my family of origin is no longer what defines me. It's now my new family with my wife and my children. That is my definition. Mm-hmm. So if I can honor them by actually helping them not be in spaces that make it frustrating to be with them.
Mm. Yeah.
And putting some of those boundaries up. How can I help my wife not be so annoyed with her mother-in-law? I set boundaries for my mother so that my wife has more space and more bandwidth to engage her mother-in-law. Does that make sense?
Sure does, yeah.
Yeah. And when you're talking about parents who struggle with addictions, parents who struggle with mental illnesses, parents who are just a little bit clueless and you're still... If you're a grown man and you're still a mama's boy, that's your problem.
Mm-hmm.
Grow up, right? If you're a grown man and your mama overrules your wife, grow up.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a grown woman and you take your dad's advice over your husband's, grow up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my husband's not wise. Then help him. You're his helpmate. Help him grow in wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
Don't just defer back to your dad. So a lot of times when we talk about, like, how do I honor this person that gets on my nerves so bad? Well, you actually haven't set up proper boundaries.
Sure.
Where you can enjoy that. And then what happens is over time, the family learns that. So like my father-in-law, who I think the world of, Heidi's dad, well, we've been in family now for 31 years.
Sure.
So dad and I had to figure some stuff out, not in a hyper negative way, just like that's his baby girl, but this is my wife. So because we both love each other, we had to put up right boundaries. We had to know, you kind of learn, and then you operate within those proper boundaries. some of that was me being clear. Mm-hmm. I'm the head of my home, Dad. This is what I would like. And then some of that is me not being insecure.
Right.
Like Dad, I call him Dad, but Heidi's dad is better at certain things than I am.
Mm-hmm.
And I just need to call him and say, Dad, can you help me build this?
Right.
You know, kind of thing. So I think seeing them correctly, and then I think putting up boundaries. And then the third thing, I'll say this, and then we can go from there. But the third thing is making sure that your parents, you view them as neighbors. So I'm loving my neighbor as myself, and that's the commitment side of it. Like, they have high needs, or they're difficult to love. And a Christ follower doesn't ask the question if I should love someone. We do ask the question how.
Oh, yep.
And sometimes it's really hard to love people, and it's really complicated. And this is where we walk in the Spirit. It's where we search God's Word. It's where we seek godly wisdom from friends or pastors or life groups or podcasts. And we're constructing in my given situation, am I going to honor my father and mother? The answer is yes. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how to do that right now. And that answer often becomes pretty nuanced. But the commitment has to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I get this question a lot, like nursing homes and stuff like that. Sometimes the most loving thing I can do for a parent is put them in a nursing home, because it protects them and it will give them longevity of life. Because if they're going to fall, sometimes that's a way for me to not have to hassle with somebody.
Yeah. One was loving, one isn't.
Yeah. Sometimes, I get the question, how long, you know, my husband has Alzheimer's, how long should I keep him at home? I'm like, as long as you can. And then when you can't, because you've got to live too, and he wouldn't want that.
Mm-hmm.
And these are just like, but when? I'm like, yeah, I don't know. There's like, you look at it, you love them, you're acting in their best interest, you're seeking the Lord, and I think you come to a peace. My my brother, when he years and years ago hurt his hip, and it led to him needing a hip replacement, 30 years later. And he went to the doctor because he was in a lot of pain with his hip, and the doctor was like, well, you're going to need a hip replacement. And my brother said, he goes, when do I know it's time to do it? And the doctor said, you'll tell me.
Interesting.
I'll say a year later, whatever, my brother was like, get this thing out of me and put a new one in. And I think what happens is when you're asking the Lord, I'm not sure, and the Lord's like, I will make it clear to you, and you will have a peace,
mm-hmm.
and you will have a confidence, and there'll be a degree of like, this is a no-brainer.
Mm-hmm.
And we're searching for that because we want to honor our father and our mother.
Yeah. I really like, you actually brought this topic up without saying the word, and like the opposite of honor is shame. And, one of the ways to know whether or not you're bringing honor to a situation is, am I bringing shame to the situation? And so the way that, like you mentioned, like loving your neighbor as yourself, that's who your parents would be. We would not want our doctor or our family member or someone that cared for us to give up on us when it got tough.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's like when we think about, well, how would I want to be loved? That's therefore then how I should love other people.
Yeah, and we also wouldn't want them to take control of us when we still had a degree of independence, right?
Absolutely. And so that's just something that I think is really important to remember, especially then, even as you would talk about the scenario. Like my mother passed a few years ago, and the last 15, 20 years of her life were very complicated. Some of the things you had listed off about the difficulties of parents were very much a part of our life. And I remember my family asked me to share at her funeral about her life. Well, if you knew my mother like 25 years ago, you would have thought she walked alongside Jesus in the clouds of heaven. I mean, it's just like she was a wonderful woman. And then things just got really, really complicated. And she had some very hard relationship dynamics in those last two decades. But when you show up at a funeral, you have people there that knew her 20 plus years ago.
Yeah.
And then you have people that lived the reality of the previous 20 years. And so I remember praying with a couple of people and certainly the family. I'm like, how do you honor the experience that both of these people had? And so as a family—
that's all one person.
It's all one person.
Yeah.
And so as a family, we decided, well, let's honor what would have been like the first five decades of her life, and then let's comfort and give compassion to those that were in her last 15 to 20 years of life and learn lessons, you know, from like what we saw and the rest. And when I talked with people that would have experienced both sides of my mom, they both felt very, very cared for. And I remember the whole time going through that, these words were echoing in my mind, how do I honor my mother? And I can't, I'm not, so part of honoring is not lying. So if you're in our listener's shoes, you know, hey, how's it going with your mom that's, you know, going through it? Like, you don't have to lie. It's great. She's bubbly. She's got 20 years left. I mean, you don't have to lie, but you also shouldn't be like, well, this woman, if she would just get her act together, you know, it's like, you're how do you honor her?
Yeah.
And part of it's care. Part of it's her legacy. Part of it's how you interact with her, like directly. So not even just the, I showed up and I did the physical things I need to do to help you, but also like, are you interacting with her as a person or just as a project? And so really thinking through, for me at least, that difference between, am I bringing shame to this relationship or shame to this person? Because that's almost easier to see. And if I am, then it's the opposite stuff that I need to do to like step into honor.
Yeah, there's like the two parameters of this are honor my father and mother. So I am involved in their life. The other parameter is like this idea of like they're toxic, so I'm going to cut them out.
Right.
And the scripture would be like, no.
Right.
Right. If you're not going to care for your family, then you know you're not going to honor God, and so cutting them out is not an answer. So it's the how to do it. And I love what you just said there about doing it in honesty. I really believe strongly that you should, if your parents are older, you should let them be independent as they can be for as long as they can be. Regardless of how old your parents are, you should be honest.
Yeah.
So I there was this incident when my dad was alive that he wasn't allowed to drive because he would black out unexpectedly. And so he wasn't allowed to drive, but he had his driver's license still, which is fine. Well, he snuck the car out. And I had people in my life say, you should hide the keys. You should disable the car. And I'm like, no. I'm going to go talk to a grown man and have a grown conversation about, you know. And so my dad and I sat and talked. I said, Dad, you know, this, here's all these ramifications and what you think. And that, I won't go into all of it, but that led to one of the richest conversations I've ever had with my father. And it led into an insight that I never had about my father. That I really learned something about him. And that whole process. I think part of the way that you honor it is you look people, your mom and dad in the eye and say, Mom, listen, this relationship is difficult right now. And when you don't cooperate and you don't, it hurts me. And I'm trying to help you. And then let them be honest back. Well, you're being controlling and I'm not an invalid, and my brain still works, and I think as long as you can, you interact with your mom and dad that way. Now, that's all the way down to Mom, you drink too much, and I can't trust you with the kids. Mm-hmm. That is all the way down to Mom, you won't stay on your psychiatric medication. So there's boundaries. You're not allowed just to come to the house. You mm-hmm. have to call for it. And what happens, I think that I like to say this, we talk about people way more than we talk to people. And that's not Christ-like.
Right.
It's one thing to sit down with your siblings and say, we're all worried about Mom and Dad. What should we do? Can we have a little bit of a strategy? I'm not saying that that's a sin. That's not gossip. That's trying to organize. But when you're complaining about your parents and you're never being honest with them, well, now you're talking about them instead of to them, and talking about them will literally not move the ball at all. Mm-hmm. And I would argue it's dishonoring.
Absolutely.
And I want everybody to hear me say again, I'm not talking about getting organized.
Right.
The siblings sat down, we have to talk to Dad. What are we going to say? What are we going to do? That's very honoring. But that has to turn into that this is where I am, and this is what we think, and this is how we need you to respond. And then if the parent is like, no, I'm not doing that, or they're in denial, well, then your boundaries kick up. Because boundaries, I don't know if you've ever heard the saying about a contract. Contracts are for friends. They're not for enemies. So if you and I were going to do business together, I would not shake your hand. It's not because I don't trust you. I'm going to write a contract because we're going to get tense, and then we're both going to have to remember how we agreed to love each other.
Yeah.
We've just pre-subscribed that. Mm-hmm. So I view that kind of stuff with boundaries. Boundaries are for friends. They're not for enemies. Fences are for enemies. You know, restraining orders are for enemies. But boundaries are for friends. I don't barge into my adult children's house. Mm-hmm. Because they're young, and because they're new, and because I have in my case, a daughter-in-law there that's only known me for 4 or 5 years. Mm-hmm. My kids barge into my house all the time. It's sure. different.
Yep.
And I'm like, and if I didn't want them to, I'd set up a boundary. So that communication is huge, and it winds up being loving. And the warnings in Scripture, I'm looking at Nate Magalit looked up some stuff for me here. I'm grateful for it. I'm looking at the Mark 7, 9 through 13 passage. Hmm. What that's talking about is failing to care about your parents or rejecting your parents. That's not on the table. There is, in 31 years of ministry, there is one time, and we don't have a small church, there is one time where I looked at an adult lady and I said, you need to not let your dad interact with you or your family in any way. I've said that once.
Yeah.
Now, there's a countless times that we've talked about boundaries and parameters, and countless times I've looked at husbands and said, hey, you need to step up, bud, and like protect your family. We're not talking about like what Jesus is talking about here in Mark. We're not talking about cutting people out, mm-hmm. pushing them off, cursing them, all that kind of stuff. We're talking about loving them and figuring out how to do that. And I want everyone to hear me say, it's actually difficult to do.
Yeah.
And difficulty in following Jesus or difficulty in living out what Jesus said does not mean you're doing it wrong. I think we get that in our heads sometimes. Like if there was a secret formula that the Bible had for me, then I would be able to just honor my parents. I'm like, no, that's not what that means at all. That it's hard and it's difficult. That's why Jesus said, I'm with you. I never leave you or forsake you. That's why he gives us the presence and the filling of the Holy Spirit
yep.
to give us wisdom and guidance. That's why he gives us his word. That's why he gives us the church. He surrounds us with resources. But one of Jesus' main promises to us is, in this world, you will have trouble. So, and then he says, but I'm the ever-present help in the time of trouble.
Yeah.
So I don't want you guys to think that there's a magic formula you're missing. And I don't want you to think, because I talk positively about my parents, that I figured it out. I don't say negative things about my family publicly. Don't be naive that there's not negative things about my family.
Sure.
I just don't say them publicly.
Because you're honoring them.
Because I'm honoring my father and my mother. So I'm not going to tell you their downsides or their ugly sides. I will privately, but I, you know, mm-hmm. if it helps you, I might. But publicly, this is hard. This is a passage I would add to this is James chapter 1, and mm-hmm. this is for the caregiver. I'm counting it joy when I face a trial, because it's testing mm-hmm. my faith. I'm honoring, and it's really hard to honor. The testing of my faith must finish its work. Perseverance must finish its work, so I'm mature and completed, not lacking anything. If I lack wisdom, I should ask God, who gives generously without finding fault. But I should not go back and forth. I should not be blown and tossed by the wind. I'm going to honor them. You know what? I'm done. I need to honor them. You know what? They're toxic. Like, no. You're in. Mm-hmm. You're in to the end. How to be in is something that God, I think, walks us through and helps us with.
Yeah. Something about you bringing up that James passage got me thinking about another quick twist to wrap up this conversation, and that is you and I, and behind the scenes, we've been talking a lot about, like, interruptions aren't interruptions. And they're sometimes like these divine interactions. And I just think about, like, the opportunities that you have to interact with people as you do the hard work of loving a parent in these harder seasons or the end of their lives, whether it be the interaction you have with your siblings and the way that you can, like, kind of shine that salt and light mindset into their lives about how you're caring, how you're loving, why you're honoring. You never know what it's almost like how we've had conversations about people that have, like your relationship with Kat, the young girl that died of cancer, and like mm-hmm. the opportunity to talk with those doctors and those nurses and do ministry there when having those appointments. Like, my mother, when she was wonderful, one of the things she did regularly, she was a cake baker. She had a cake baking business. She would take cakes to, like, doctor's offices and hospitals and, like, honor the doctors and honor the nurses and, like, celebrate how they cared for people when she was caring for her aging parents. And, like, they wouldn't shut up about it. And then they ended up, like, even calling my mom, like, hey, we have a graduate. And then they would, like, invite her to those parties and invite her to those things because she was loving them and caring for them and showing up. And it's like, you don't get those relationships if something didn't draw you into those relationships, like the need to care for somebody. And so while the reality in the relationship of caring for your parent is there at the forefront, the doors that God might be opening to you for your life to shine before all men and women could be huge.
Be huge. You know, I love that, Joe. I really do. And it made me think that most people listening to us today don't have parents to care for. Mm. So we need to care for the caregiver.
Yeah.
And I can tell you guys, Heidi and I were in ideal situations. Mom and Dad loved us. We loved them. Not a ton of baggage there. We had built a home. So I'm literally have my home custom built to care for my mom and dad in. I have wonderful siblings. My brother and my sisters were completely involved, mm-hmm. 100% involved. And the church stood around me and helped me, and that was exhausting. And it was hard, one of the hardest things I've ever done in my life. Mm-hmm. And I was emotionally drained, physically. Heidi would take day shift, I would take night shift, and my siblings were there too. This mm-hmm. is, you know, we were not by ourselves. We really did it as a family, and it was unbelievably hard. And when I think about, and that was mom and dad in a lot of hospitals and the time and the blah, blah, middle of the night stuff, all of it, ambulances. When I think about, I did it in an ideal situation. Now you add in divorce, you add in dysfunction, you add in baggage, mm-hmm. you add in you're the Christian and you're the only one who will even talk to them. We have to surround, as a church family, our brothers and sisters in this. And there are support groups and things like that here at Grace you should be a part of. A lot of this is life groups. A lot of this is friendship. Mm-hmm. And it's not, let's go have a, you know, let's go get something to eat once a month. This is, can I mow your grass? Can I show up? Can I help you when your mom has to move into assisted living? Can I help you empty out the house and get ready to sell? And it's a wonderful opportunity for the body of Christ to love each other well. And there's a thousand ways that we do that. But and then for some of us, you know, who your parents are abusive and full of pain, they just don't have family, mm-hmm. you know. And so I know my kids are unbelievable with this. Our family gatherings, we always have friends mm-hmm. because they're not getting together for Easter. They're not getting. I'm like, come with us. And I love it. You know, I love it, and it's they're loving their friends. Heidi and I do that with people too. We're like, hey, just join us. This is one of those areas that your church family, mm-hmm. in a very tangible way, can step into and provide real relief. And what you're doing when you do that for a caregiver, you're actually helping them honor.
Yep.
It gives them a little bandwidth, a little rest, gets something done. And I just pray that we honor our mother and father well, and then I pray that we kind of love each other well in that space.
That's really helpful. Well, I hope our listeners encouraged, and as we close out this episode, I want to circle back to something Jeff said. It's really hard to talk through specifics without eyeball-to-eyeball talking through exactly what you're going through. And so whether you're this unique listener or you're someone else going through something similar, please feel free to reach out to us, and one of us or one of our other leadership staff can sit down with you and walk you through some options and resources and places to get connected to help you navigate the circumstances. If you have questions that you'd like us to engage on the podcast, you can always do that by submitting them at bath.gracechurches.org/mixed messages. And if we can help you in any way, we would love to do that. If you like what you're hearing and you want to hear more of it, make sure you subscribe, follow, rate, and review our podcast. And if you're looking for a group of people to run after Jesus together, feel free to check us out here in person at Grace or even discover us online. Thanks so much for jumping in with us today as we continue to seek God's voice through all the mixed messages around us. See you next time.